We greet you in the name of Jesus the Christ, and we welcome you to this weekly program from Words of Life. Our speaker is Brother David Johnson, the minister of the Sellersburg, Indiana Church of Christ. Today, Brother Johnson will use Matthew 28, verses 16 and 17 to speak to us on the topic, But Some Doubted. Words of Life is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. It is our desire to share the good news of Jesus with all who will listen. Please, as you have opportunity, pray with me. Holy Father, we bow before you in humility and we honor you as we open this prayer with thanksgiving. Lord, all that we have and all that we enjoy comes from you. Thank you for blessing us in such a powerful way. We are especially thankful for the gift of salvation that is found only in Jesus. Please bless each of our listeners who are troubled or ill. Give them your healing and your peace. And thank you for all the missionaries and pastors and teachers throughout the world. Our prayer is that you will bless them with your protection, health, and strength in faith. And as we close this prayer, we ask that we will be ready for the promised return of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present, But Some Doubted.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, But Some Doubted. And our primary text is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 and 17. Please listen to the Word of God. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Have we ever doubted an aspect of our Christian faith? Do you think doubt is a uniquely Christian issue, only experienced by Christians? Of course not. Then who doubts? Of course, everybody. Atheists doubt, humanists doubt, self-centered people doubt, Muslims doubt, and yes, Christians doubt. So doubting is experienced by our human nature. Our world is full of uncertainty, and it attacks us all the time. Doubt is no respecter of beliefs or behaviors. We are all vulnerable to doubt. Doubt is normal and natural. Have you ever doubted something your parents told you? For example, you're going to be all right. Or have you doubted something your spouse has told you? For example, it's better this way. Or it's better my way. Have you ever doubted yourself? I can do this. Doubt was even part of the beginning before sin. Really? Do you remember in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 where it says in part, He said to the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? What became of that doubt? Regarding our Christian faith, did God really say, or some form of this has been plaguing Christians ever since? Plaguing believers ever since? For example, did Job doubt God? Did Abraham? Did Sarah doubt God? Did Gideon? Did Peter? Did Thomas, the apostle? You and me, in some way, are prone to doubting. We are all doubters. It's part of our DNA. Blaise Pascal, a Christian and a mathematician and scientist, stated, quote, There is enough light for those who want to believe, but also enough shadows to blind those who don't believe. End quote. Some of us are more prone to doubt than others. Perhaps we overanalyze things, or we're too suspicious. Why do you think there's a possibility of an increase in doubt today, seemingly about everything? Probably because we're bombarded by politicians, preachers, physicians, pharmacists, weathermen, and the like. Too much information. We're on overload, prone to doubt. It's amazing how some disciples of Jesus Christ, even after Christ's post-resurrection appearances to them, still doubted. Really? Again, Matthew 28:16, it says in part, The 11 disciples went to Galilee. Does this refer to 11 random disciples? No. These were the personally chosen, hand-picked apostles, 11 minus Judas Iscariot. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 17 says in part, They saw him, That is, they saw the risen Christ. They saw him physically, flesh and bone, by sight. In verse 17, it says also that they worshiped him. I wonder how that exactly was. How would you have done so? And also in verse 17, it also says, but some doubted. Now, there may have been other disciples present, but it could have been one of the 11, or more than one of the 11. They still doubted. How could they? What kind of doubts? What would we doubt if someone we thought had died appeared to us? Just in our imagination, a dream, a nightmare? But some doubted. What does this reveal about Scripture in general? It reveals that Scripture is transparent about the truthfulness of the human condition. We doubt. The Scriptures do not attempt to cover up our human nature. Let's go deeper into aspects of our doubt. Someone has suggested at least four basic types or shades of doubt, which we can all experience, regarding our faith as Christians. Number one, emotional doubt. For example, we doubt when we personally experience or observe awful evil or suffering. We may feel, let our emotions go amok, and think to ourselves or even say out loud, how could God allow this to happen to me or to my family or to the community? Emotional doubt could come when we doubt our own salvation because of our weaknesses or failures. Can we earn our salvation? Of course not. When bad circumstances darken our hearts, our feelings, we may doubt God's presence or God's concern. Not too long ago, some toddlers were killed by a train stuck on the train tracks in a community where I live. A tragedy. This can cause even believers to doubt God's concern. Or, for example, consider Moses. Was he not a man of great faith? Yet consider Exodus chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23, where it says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. What people? Of course, Moses' people, Israel. Why did Moses doubt the Lord's intentions? Would we have doubted, having been in Moses' sandals? So there's emotional doubt. Secondly, another type of doubt, intellectual doubt. Some think deeply and may doubt the validity, the reality of the Christian faith as revealed in the Bible. Maybe it's just written by men without God's inspiration. Or maybe some parts of the Bible are strictly man's words. We may doubt and think, can I truly trust all the Bible? Or even, did Christ really die for me personally? Or can resurrection from the dead really be true? There are some Christians, surely, that have doubts about these things. Consider, for example, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20 and verse 25, that says in part, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Who said this? This was Thomas, one of the hand-picked apostles of Jesus Christ. And how is he usually referred to? As a doubter. Doubting Thomas. John chapter 20 and verse 27, Christ stated, stop doubting and believe. Intellectually, we may doubt parts of the Bible being God-breathed, such as Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verses 18 through 21. Listen to these words and tell me if maybe you may doubt that this is God-breathed, inspired of God. Deuteronomy chapter 21 1, beginning in verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, who does not obey his father and mother, and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard." Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. This is part of the word of God. Sounds pretty harsh, does it not? What do you think of this passage? Is this God's permissive will, obviously? If morally permissible to God in the Old Testament, is it valid today? Has God changed his mind regarding what he teaches about parents and about the abuse of children? Is this unreasonable punishment? A Bible scholar writes regarding this same passage, Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. Quote, "The son described in these verses exhibits an unbending and rebellious spirit. He's steeped in sin, refuses to respond to any parental discipline, altogether shunning the fifth commandment. This describes a seemingly hopeless case. In a theocratic nation, he's a leper-like son whose sin will spread and undo the moral fabric of his nation if left unchecked. The parents seek outside intervention as a final resort. We have very few instances of stoning that actually take place in the biblical records. Perhaps the threat was enough to deter people from such rebellious behavior," end of quote. Of course, what was sin morally in the Old Testament times is still sin today. That hasn't changed. However, how our society punishes immorality has changed. Does that reality change what God will do with the immoral persons without repentance? No. Consider in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John in the New Testament, when the woman caught in the act of adultery was brought before Jesus for the prescribed Mosaic law of stoning. Did Christ demand her stoning to death on the spot? No. Why not? Wasn't she guilty? Yes, she was. However, are we under theocratic rule only today? However, is capital punishment part of God's permissive will according to scriptures even today? Of course, in the rule of law, always remember to search the whole counsel of God, even on this type difficult passage. Consider also, along these lines, Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 23. "Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked?" declares the sovereign Lord. "Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live?" What's the answer? Yes, of course, God is pleased when we turn, repent from evil ways and live. So there's emotional doubt, there's intellectual doubt. Thirdly, another type of doubt is volitional doubt. That is, dealing with a battle of the wills, God's will versus our will. For example, we may doubt because of some great disappointment. Does God really know what's best for my life? Is God's will better than my will? Should I really surrender, yield my will to God's obvious will? Regarding a health issue, a job issue, a family issue, a financial issue? A volitional doubter is in a spiritual tug-of-war with God's will manifested to us. Do I need to go through this? Does my loved one need to go through this? We must eventually yield our will to God's will made known to us in the scriptures. Do you remember even Jesus in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, where he said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Fourthly, there's moral doubt. This is usually caused by our sin or questioning of God's moral standards. For today, for example, by application, is the entertainment that we habitually involve ourselves with something that can be immoral? What we watch on TV, videos, movies, music that we listen to? That includes graphic violence, sex, cursing, swearing, immodesty, etc. For some Christians, it may include premarital sex, so-called alternative lifestyles, including homosexuality or cross-dressing or using illegal drugs. Even that which has been legalized, abortion, euthanasia, or assisted suicide, mercy killing, so-called mercy killing, addictive gambling, and the like. Sin has a heart-hardening tendency that can develop doubt even regarding the unchangeable moral commandments of God. So what can we do when we doubt God and or His Word, the Bible? Whether it is emotional doubt of the heart, intellectual doubt of the mind, volitional doubt of the will, or morally, we need to start with identifying the source of our doubt, where it's coming from, what's triggering our doubt. Search the Scriptures, get counsel perhaps from trusted, mature Christians regarding our doubt. Seek God's truth and wisdom through constant prayer. Admit our doubts and seek God's answers to repent and turn from our doubts. We need to understand no belief system, including Christianity, completely closes out doubt. We are all vulnerable to doubt. Yet God can use our doubts to eventually strengthen our faith. Do you not think that Thomas, the apostle, the doubter, was strengthened in his faith? Yes, it took Jesus by sight, but nevertheless, he came to a place of full faith. In this life, we will not always have certainty, but we do need faith in God and His Word. Doubt is not the direct opposite of faith. What is? Unbelief. Doubt is not necessarily unbelief, but it is attacking our faith. Do you remember Peter, who walked on water and then sunk? Doubt is in us and all around us, even in the church, in our families. Remember Jude verse 22, be merciful to those who doubt. We also need to believe our beliefs and strive to doubt our doubts. Beware of becoming too cynical and so being sure of nothing. Doubts will attack us, but that does not mean we are to allow them to master us. In spite of our doubts, always keep a commitment of our wills to believe God in His Word anyway.
We pray that you have been blessed by what you have heard today. If we can help you in your making a decision for Jesus, or if you have any questions, please contact us. You may have a free CD of this and last week's program by asking for number 2128. That's program 2128. We want to hear from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.